Rabbi, just continuing our discussion on Zeche Zeche. Actually, I've been having a lot of interesting correspondence with David, who's just turned up. I'm interested to see what he might say, what the professor might say, but is the word Meshugas come from him?
That was my own.
Yeah, because the Mishabura brings down.
I know.
Yeah, so hardly a Meshugas, but in any event, we'll see. Anyway, we're discussing the idea of Zecher and Zecher, Yatimcha Zecher Amolek, and we say Zecher Amolek four times a year. We say Zecher Amolek in Parshas Kisetse. In fact, we do it six times a year. Because in Parshas Kisetse, Zocher is Asher Asor Lecho Amolek is the Maftir, so therefore we line it twice on Parshas Kisetse, and then we line it on Parshas Zocher. So we've got three times there, Zecher Amolek, and then in the Parsha that we read at the Maftir of Beshalach is Vayovay Amolek, which is what we line on Purim morning, and there again we have Kimochoy Emche es Zecher Amolek. Now I had never heard. I was not aware that anybody is makpid on Zecher or Zecher in Parshas Beshalach.
Yeah,
you've heard of that?
Yeah, you know,
I haven't done it.
Yeah, you do.
Well, no, Zecher Zecher on Shabbos Parshas Zocher.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Vayovay Amalek on Purim morning. When we learn Vayovay Amalek, when we learn Vayovay Amalek on Purim morning, right? I've never heard of it, but the Nitei Gavriel brings down that the Minik Chabad is. That they do Zecher and Zecher in Vayov HaMolek in the morning as well.
I got this year. I had it on Beshalach.
You had that on Parshas Beshalach as well?
Yep.
Oh, so, and then you're saying in Parshas Beshalach, what, you line in Chabad?
Yep.
Aha, so they do it Parshas Beshalach as well. So I would understand, maybe, I always understood that with Makpid Zecher Zecher, because Parshas Zocher is a Kriya Deraisa, because we're Mekai in the midst of Zocher and Loi Tishkoch, and therefore we want to be very particular to get it absolutely right, absolutely accurate. Masha Ingen, Kriya Satori on Parshas, Kriya Satori on Parshas Kisetse, or Kriya Satori on Parshas Beshalach, I would have thought one doesn't need to be that makbid. The poskim bring down that somebody who cannot hear Parshas Zocher on Shabbos Parshas Zocher can be mechaven, ask the palkori to be moitzim, and can be mechaven to be yotzer on Vayova Amolek on Purim morning. In which case, there again, you could say maybe there's an inyan to repeat it on Purim morning because you want to be yotzer. There might be somebody in the audience who wants to be yotzer the chiyuv deraisa of Parshas Zocher, of Zocher and Leitishkoch. Maybe. But this is new, certainly, if Ronnie's saying that even on Parshas Beshalach they do. But it's my own invention, I haven't seen it brought down anywhere, is that on Parshas Kisetse, when we line it twice, we're lining once for the Kriya and once for the Maftir, so in the Kriya I do Zecher, and when I repeat it in the Maftir, I do Zecher. And nobody notices anyway, you get away with it, yeah? But that's just an idea that, you know, I haven't seen it written down anywhere, but I get away with it. I've never ever done it in Parshas Beshalach, though. So Parshas Beshalach, this is news to me that people do it in Parshas Beshalach as well. It's a very interesting development.
Started out Torreway, Northwest London, Tuesday, Zion Adar, 24th of February, Reina Rav Amir Elitov Shlita, Senior Rabbi for Spanish and Portuguese, Rav at Lauderdale Road Synagogue, between Yosef and Esther. This week's Torah is sponsored anonymously. Rinishmas, our esteemed founder, Rabbi Yosef Dov, and Rabbi Shimon Nepal Tzvi Itzkovitz for another report.
Good morning. Thank you very much for hosting me. Actually, I came to the attention over here through one of my best friends in school, Dodi Iskovitz, Chronoli Racha, who over the years kept on asking me, you need to come and give a talk, you need to speak in the Start the Way, the Torah way. And I said, look, I don't generally come down from Manchester to speak. However, when he heard that we were getting the position in London in Lauderdale Road, was very excited, and he said, look, you've got no excuse now. And he was happy to know that we were getting a position, but unfortunately he was NIFTA before we moved over. And so it's when I was thinking of what topic to choose, with Dudi being Yosef Dov, I thought Yosef being his name and connecting it to Purim would be very appropriate. And actually, before saying that, just to reflect on Dudi, from my perspective, I grew up in his house on Shabbatot, and we used to live in South Manchester, and many Shabbats I would stay in his home in Water Park Road. And we grew up together. We had a very, very close connection. We enjoyed listening to me sing Sfadi music. And he enjoyed also coming over for Shabbatot in South Manchester. And we were able to keep that connection over the years. So it's mamashli lui nishmato. So Yosef and Esther, there are two paragraphs or two episodes in the Torah where we see there is a unique connection between two individuals, two chains of events, and that's specific to Yosef and Esther. And we'll go into details to see how the connections and how things parallel with each of those events. Both of them go into exile. Both attain a position second to the king, or an extremely important position in the country. Both are leaders of the Jewish people. Both save their people. And the Gemara in Megillah connects and parallels between the anger of Paro against the Sar HaMashkim and Sar HaOfim to the anger of Achashverosh with Vashti. Let's go detail by detail through the different episodes how we find these connections. So let's start with the banquet. If we look at the episode of Yosef, we read with Paro's birthday, Vayhi Bayom Ashlishi, Vayas Mishte Lechol Avadav. On the third day, he made a meal, a feast for all his servants. Similarly with Megillat Esther, Vayhi Bimach Ashverot, Mishnat Shalosh Lemalcho, Asa Mishte Lechol Sarah Avadav. Again, nearly carbon copy between the two episodes. Both banquets are convened in the capital of the world. According to Shmuel in Megillah, describes that Paras, the place where Achashverosh ruled, here was Misof HaOlam Va'ad Sofo, from one end of the world to the other. According to the Tana of Eliyahu Rabbah, we also see with Mitzrayim, Paro ruled Misof HaOlam Va'ad Sofo. So again, both capitals, both areas where the Mishta is taking place is in the central point of the whole world, literally being ruled. The banquet in the time of Yosef takes place at the beginning of the Galut of the Shvatim. And similarly, with the banquet of Esther, or the banquet of Achashverosh, we see that this is taking place in the first Galut of the Jewish nation. So there they are again, we see this aspect of where a Galut aspect is something which is integral to this story. Let's see the list of those who are invited. According to Rashi in Megillat Esther, in Pasuk Chet, describes when we see Al Kol Rav Beto, Al Kol Sarei HaSeuda, including Sar HaOfim, Sar HaTabachim, VeSar HaMashkim. In the feast of Achashverosh, we see who are the people who are included and who are the main officers there. They include the bakers, the butlers, and the butchers. Who are the main influences on Yosef's life, in the sense that when he was in Mitzrayim? Again, Sar HaTabachim, Sar HaMashkim, Sar HaOfim. So here you have this parallel between both aspects with the banquets. Let's go further in terms of the dates. The dates when the banquets took place. for Achashverosh, it takes place Bishnat Shalosh Lemalcho, in his third year of reign. The banquet of Paro for his birthday was Vayhi Bayom Hashlishi, on the third day. They choose the number three because we always know number three is a notion of power. Hachut Hameshulash Loinatek, the three threaded, the three pronged threads, is something which is extra strong. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, both represent strength.
What was the three
with Paro? So Paro is third day. The third day, Vayhi Bayom Hashlishi, of his birthday, when he created a banquet. Vayhi Bayom Hashlishi, on the third day. So they both know that concept of three being a notion of power. And what do they want to project to the people, to the world? They want to show their power as if they are like a god. They are a banquet to show stability, to show continuity. So all of those, the number three is there to show that continuity. And that's what they wanted to project. But despite them trying to show this aspect of continuity and strength, we see there's the word Vayahi. Vayahi always shows that there's trouble brewing. Something's problematic. And what's one of the main problems during that Seuda? The anger. The anger of Paro and the anger of Achashverosh. When we look at Paro, Vayitzof Paro al Shnei Sarisav. Paro's angry on his officers. And then we read Vayitzof HaMelech Me'od in the Megillah. Both angers leads to the rise, whether in the Megillah, the rise of Esther, allowing her to be able to come in, and similarly, the rise of Yosef through his advice, what he's able to do. Let's go further. The people who they were angry on. So if we look at Vashti, the root of the word Vashti is shte, drink. The root of how we were saved over Purim was through the notion of drink. The banquet of wine during the Mishteh of, well, when Esther was able to ensure that these banquets, she could give the right advice and request to Achashverosh. And then let's look at with Yosef. Yosef Shar HaMashkim, Sar HaMashkim. The Mashkim, the root of it is Shke, to drink, to water. How were we saved from Mitzrayim? Through the waters, through the splitting of the Yam Suf. That notion of waters, of drinking, is our source of savior, which is the Torah. Torah is known as Maim Chaim. And so all of those aspects, the appreciation of the Torah, the learning of the Torah, the connection to Maim Chaim, is our source of saving. Let's now look at the names of those who were involved in this story. With the Megillat Esther, Achashverosh. Ayam. Chash, hasty, Verosh, the ruler. Paro is par a bull, but Ra, bad. Paro in itself also is connected to wild or unrestrained. Both of them in their actions were hasty, were wild, did wrong things, were bad. And then due to their actions, we look at how they are searching. How are they trying to recover from their mistakes? So, with Esther, after Vashti's exit, Achashverosh says, "Ve'yafked ha-melech pekidim." He appoints officers. In the story with Paro, "Ve'yafked pekidim." If you look at the word "ve'yafked," the Baal HaTorim over there, in Perek Mem Aleph Lamed Dalet, says, the only place in the Torah where you see the word Ve'yafked is in the story of Yosef and the story of the Megillah. Those are the two only places where you can see Ve'yafked. There's different other connections of Kod or other things, but Ve'yafked, the only two places in the Torah, is in the Megillah and over here.
Is it by Yosef?
Yosef, it is in Mem Aleph Lamed Aleph, when Paro wants to appoint officers after following Yosef's advice to make sure that they have the relevant officers to gather in all the grain from the Yemei Sabah. Now, with both the aspects of appointing those officers, they are both Finnish approval of advice. Both have an approval. So in Esther we see Vaitav Hadavar Be'enei HaMelech, and in the story of Paro and Yosef, Vaitav Hadavar Be'enei Paro. So both of them, again, we see that constant parallel. Let's look at the appearance of how both Yosef and Esther are described. Esther is described Vahanara Yefatua Letovat Mare. Esther is known as someone who is beautiful. Yosef is described Vahi Yosef Yefe To'ar Vife Mare. Again, describing his beauty. Esther had to undergo all different makeups and beauty treatments. Yosef, as we know famously in Rashi, arranged his hair, fixed his eyes. Again, connection, the same paradigms. Look at how they dress. Again, Esther constantly has to dress up in a set way. Yosef, when he meets Paro, Vaygalach Vaychalef Simlotav, he has to change his clothes, he has to shave, he has to prepare himself. All the time there is a focus on the appearance. But what's behind that appearance? And that appearance is connected to their names. Esther means hidden, and obviously it's showing, describing how Hashem is hidden in the Megillah, and also Esther's tzniut through her hiddenness. Also, Esther is connected to Astira, which is Aramaic for a silver coin. Yosef, Hashem adds me another child, but also to add. Look at Kesef, silver. It's the connection to Astira, the silver coin of Esther. Asaf, gather. Yosef is able to gather the grain for during the years of the famine. Gathered the Shvatim together. Esther gathered the Jewish people to do tshuva. She was able to ensure that people came together. Esther hid her identity from Ahasuerus. And what's interesting is how long they hid their identity for. Esther hid her identity for 9 years, from the third year of the reign of Ahasuerus to the 12th year of the reign of Ahasuerus. She never said she was Jewish. According to Rashi, in the end of Vayishlach, you see there's a long Rashi which describes the different how we work out different ages. You'll see on that Rashi, Yosef hid his identity also for 9 years. 7 years of famine and 2 years of Sava. So again, they are hiding. That notion of hiding, or both of them hide it for 9 years. Yosef, what about his aspect of hiding? His coffin was hidden in the Nile. Yosef hid his identity from the brothers. So again, like Esther hid her identity, Yosef hides his identity. We're now going to see the connection of the importance of why both Yosef and Binyamin have an important role with the battle of Amalek and Esav. So when Yosef is born, his name is given, may Hashem give me another child. And that other child is Binyamin. Binyamin names all his 10 sons, all his 10 in memory of Yosef. And we are told that Binyamin is that extension of Yosef. Those same qualities goes to Binyamin and his children. They were partners with the struggle of Esav and Amalek. They were also essential in establishing the Mishkan and places of worship. So, let's see. Who battles Amalek? Yehoshua is from Ephraim, battles Amalek, which is Yosef. Gideon, who also battles Amalek, is from Menashe, is from Yosef. Shaul is from Binyamin. And then Mordechai is also Binyamin. So here you see the people who are entrusted to battle Amalek are the children of Rachel. And if we think of Amalek always being mikre, is being things are just for by chance, Yosef was a person who reflected, Yosef HaTzadik was a person who reflected, everything is min Hashemayim, everything is from Hashem. Hashem was the one who provided me for everything. Let's go further. The merit of the splitting of the Yamsuf, according to different Midrashim, we see according to the Yalkut Shimoni, it was a tribe of Binyamin who were the first to enter the sea. Mishkan Shiloh was in Chelkat Ephraim. Yosef prepared the Bnei Yisrael to enter, to leave Mitzrayim by ensuring that they were sustained in the Galut. And he allowed them to prepare them receiving the Torah by Har Sinai. And that acceptance of the Torah was with Yirah, with fear. Later on, Esther and Mordechai, the descendants of Binyamin, were the ones to make sure that the Jewish people would accept the Torah, but through Ahava, through love. And this connection, we will see next pattern between Pesach and Purim. Pesach, we connect with Yosef, has an aspect of Yirah. You see, Bemorah Gadol, the aspects of appreciating everything that Hashem did to us, the overt miracles that took place, is an aspect of Yirah. And then Purim is connected to Binyamin and Ahava. Yirah, the first letter, Yirah, Yosef. Ahava, the first letter, Esther. Let's connect Purim to Pesach. The banquet of Achashverosh took place on Nisan. The lots were thrown and were drawn in Nisan. The decree to destroy the Jewish people was sealed in Nisan. The three-day fast, which was declared for the Jewish people to fast, to ask for saving, was on the beginning of Pesach. Esther approached Achashverosh on Pesach. The night of the disturbed sleep, took place on Pesach. The command to honor Mordechai, to tell Haman to take him down the street on Pesach. The minhag, there's a tradition to, on the second night of Pesach, to have a banquet or to think about the Esther's banquet on Pesach. And that's it's written specifically in the Ber Hetev in Shulchan Aruch. According to Rav Chaim Vital, the 10 pieces of bread that we hide on for Dikas Chometz is connected to the 10 sons of Haman. Both festivals are connected to wine. We have 4 cups of wine in Pesach and Purim. We have wine connected also to the banquets. Even the tefillot, there is a commentary that describes Al Hanisim for the miracles is also connected not only for the miracles what took place in Paras, but also for the rescue from Paro. Al HaPrukan for the deliverance. Deliverance by us being redeemed from impurity in Egypt. Al Hagvurot, the mighty acts connected to the man which we received after going out of Mitzrayim. But Al HaChuot for the savings, how we were saved in the war against Amalek. Bamim Haem Bazman Hazeh is also not only in those days, but at this season, the season of Purim and Pesach are very close together. Okay, Pesach is specifically Aviv, but Purim, with only a month before, essentially, is roughly the same season. For Purim, we describe Laihudim Haita Ora Besimcha. For the story of Pesach, we see how the Jews, and in the Haggadah we say Ma'afela Le'ora, from darkness to light. Miyagon Lesimcha Umeve Le'yom Tov. Again, this is also Miyagon Lesimcha Umeve Le'yom Tov, both in the Megillah and in the Haggadah, they're parallel to each other. In Purim story, Vayanim Hayin Niskayim Benasim Bechol Dor Vador. It's remembered in every generation. And what do we say in the Haggadah? Bechol Dor Vador. So again, you have that connection between both the Haggadah and the Purim story. Then we go into the actual clothes. The clothes themselves. With the Megillah we read, colourful regal fabric curtains is described at the beginning of the Megillah. And similarly with Yosef, his coat was a colourful regal fabric coat. We have double negatives over our over the garments in the Megillah. The refusal to appear in public unclothed. How the clothes were torn, sackcloth and ashes, with Mordechai. Also, clothing were sent and refused. Again, these are the aspects which in the clothes within the Megillah. Let's look at the story of Yosef. Yosef, in the clothes, the negative, he was stripped of his clothes. Reuven tears his clothes. The cloaks or the coat is dipped in blood to sent and sent to Yaakov as a false meaning. The clothes are torn. They wear sackcloth. As much as clothes was refused in the Purim story, similarly with Yaakov, he refused to be comforted. So again, you have that connection. Then how Esther is appearing with royalty through her clothes. The beautiful simile with Yosef, how he's clothed in royal garments. How Paro gives the beautiful, bountiful royal gifts of clothes, and similarly, how Mordechai receives all the full glory of the clothes. So again, you have all these parallels. Why do we specifically speak about clothes in this aspect? Clothes is the thing, as we think of this week's parasha, is lechavod ultifarit. This is the clothes describe our glory, our greatness, and what's being projected through the Jewish people is that importance of being able to show glory to Hashem and honor to Hashem. Then we think of the turnaround. With the story in Esther, Yashuv Machshavto Hara'a Asher Chashav. And then with Yosef at the end of Bereshit, when he speaks to his brothers, Va'atem Chashavtem Alai Ra'a, Elokim Chashava Letova. Again, a total parallel, a total change and turn of the events. According to the Yalkut Shimoni, five people saw a new world. Two of them famously, Yosef and Mordechai. And the other three was Noach, Moshe and Yov. Yosef, Mordechai also famed with their clothes, how they wore, what they wore. If we think of clothes and connect it to Noach, Noach in his time of sin and with Ham, he had to then be clothed by his children. Moshe had to remove his shoes. And Iov, he tears his clothes. It says, Tzedek lavashti ve'albisheni kim il utznif mishpati. I put on clothes and it clothes me in glory, in a beautiful way. This is something which we see when we look at our history and when we look at why specifically do we focus on these aspects with Esther, Mordechai, and compared to Yosef, is they ensured that their identity in Galut was always strong within themselves, but also to be able to project help to the Jewish people, to project Achdut, to project togetherness. This is one of the things, if we look at the mitzvot of the day of Purim, they are all aspects of promoting Achdut, togetherness. And this is what was our weak point, what Haman said. And similarly with Yosef. His whole behavior, why he did what he did, was to ensure that there would be an achdut within his family. When that family was torn away and were divided, he was the person to make sure that they can come together. And that coming together made ensured that we as a people could be saved, could withstand the challenges of Galut. And that through those challenges of Galut, we were able to show the beauty of the Torah. The beauty of the Torah, the Maim Chaim, whether it was during Pesach, leading up to Shavuot, to accept the Torah, Shebichtav, or with Purim, where we're accepting Torah Sheba'al Peh. Now, Bezrat Hashem, by us showing that Achdut, by giving that glory to Hashem, Lechavod Ultifaret, by the Kiddush Hashem that we do, we ensure that we relive those qualities and aspects of Yosef, Esther, and Mordechai. Thank you very much.
What do you say the name Paro meant?
Paro meant someone who's wild.
Paro, we said Paro.
Paro, a bull, and Ra, wicked.
Ra, I see.
Yeah. Got a few more connections. Okay. It comes twice.
Yeah.
Also, Esther, to change the... Osnat, change the nun to Osnat to Rosh.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes.